Cool. Welcome to Crippled System, episode 631 in inverse.
You pulled that one off pretty well.
My name is Jim, and I hate everything.
My name is Keith, and I only hate some things.
I'm Nate, and I'm just full of love.
Hate! I'm Andy.
Yay.
Somebody, you have to be the director and producer and have an itinerary and stuff.
Oh, so I'm the one in charge of this ship?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
When has that ever happened?
Well, so who's in charge?
I guess I am the only person who's been on every single episode
so far. We're like the D team.
This is Crippled System episode 3, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I've been on like 9 or 10.
You were on for like a good portion of the beginning episodes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So all those guys are like, who's this gym guy?
Yeah.
They're just Johnny come lately.
Yes, they are.
See, and I'm just part of the B squad that shows up when I have time.
Yeah. Yep. That happens when you have kids.
So if we can't think of anything to talk about, I'm going to have to talk about War Machine.
No!
This Angry Orchard hard cider is quite good.
It is actually really good. Thank you very much.
Good job.
As far as alcoholic bottled beverages, generally I prefer beers, but this is not bad.
I like cinnamon, though. I really like cinnamon.
I don't know what it is.
Almost like a big red alcohol.
Every beer, it doesn't matter. I've tried different brands. I've tried, you know, stouts, IPAs. They all taste the same.
Oh, your palate is fucked.
Yeah. But it's only for that.
If Guinness and Miller taste the same to you, there's something medically wrong with you.
That could very well be. That could very well
be. If you take a drink off of an IPA and you're like, wow, that didn't taste like licking a skunk's ass. Your mouth is definitely wrong. That stuff is nasty.
But that's just it. It all tastes like I'm licking a skunk's ass.
Oh, okay. Well, you just don't like beer.
I can't stand it.
Or you like skunk's asses.
Could be.
We'll stick with not liking beer.
So bad.
Yeah, I don't personally care for high hop character beer, which is what defines IPAs.
They kind of are skunkier, though. Like, even a Sierra Nevada is, like, way too hoppy to understand. Like, it's so bitter, but it doesn't taste like skunk.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have to... Josh could tell me more about why IPAs aren't awful, but it seems intellectual to me rather than a taste situation, because as soon as I put one in my mouth, I'm just like, get away. I drank all like the malt, the super malty. Like, give me a Guinness, give me any of the more obscure stouts.
I think I'd like Guinness if it was served warm. I do not like the cold coffee-ish taste to me.
Yeah, and it's not.
I'd rather have it warm. I think it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I think it's traditionally
actually
it's
a
warm.
Coffee taste. It's just a roasted taste, which is
okay.
Similar.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like I should know more about beer. I don't know enough. I just know that if I drink it, I don't like it. I don't want any more of it.
You like Spotted Cows and those types
of
standard beers.
More of like a lager, I think. Probably my style.
Lager's a really broad category.
Like a beer? Spotted Cow.
I still don't know. Yeah.
That's what Andy is like a Spotted Cow. Blue Moon is about
it's like
the
an ale.
What's
Spotted
an
Cow is just sort of a... It's a pretty standard construction. It's like a Miller that doesn't blow goats.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah, it's quite good, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Turns out that like you take a Miller and then take everything that sucks out of it, now it's pretty good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not bad.
Yeah. I've been around different beers, but I don't know. I had a Hefe something the other day. That was pretty good.
Hefeweizen?
Whiskey, German. Brandy, that's what I tend
to
stick with.
I puke up all that stuff. The only stuff I can drink is gin, which nobody else can drink.
I like gin.
Yeah
liquid Bombay Christmas.
Sapphire. That's the good stuff. Man, when the Shays used to have parties at their house, me and Jeremy would just get fucking lit off of Bombay all night. it was good times. Many a time was had. Getting drunk off of Bombay.
I miss the Shea parties. Used to have a Shea parties almost like every month or so.
Yeah, what happened to Shea parties?
Well, she started working 80 hours a week. And
yeah, that was
apparently your partying spirit drains out of you in those situations. I'm very well aware of that, but I've been in situations close to that.
Yeah, you've been working a lot.
Yeah. Well, DirecTV, it was like 60, 70 hours, and you just don't have time for anything.
your urge to party goes away, but your urge to drink is never
yeah.
higher.
Yeah, it goes way up.
Yeah.
It
increases tenfold.
So that was announcements.
No, yeah. we still have announcements. We have a big event coming up. At least 3/4 of us are going to it. You're not going to it, are you?
I'm going to.
Oh, War Machine
Oh,
weekend?
God.
War
no,
Machine
that,
Weekend.
That's not an announcement.
Yeah, I have the time for that. Nope.
Yeah. I'm going to go and hang out on vacation. I have no intent of playing War Machine. I might bring my models, I guess.
Yeah, you can pick up some pickup games. There's going to be a lot of board games going on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
War Machine Weekend is like some war. It's like huge War Machine tournaments and then a bunch of people hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to be there for the hanging out.
You're going to be up for...
I don't even have a ticket in. I don't have a hotel room. I'm just going to figure all that out when I get
Sleep
there.
Sleep in your car. Sneak care. In.
I'll figure out some way to enjoy myself. It's just going to be nice having vacation.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah. The one thing that's hard about cons is, like, you spend all your vacation... For those of us with jobs, Keith, I'm gonna educate you on something.
Like I've had them in the past. Yeah. Didn't care for them.
Right. They're pretty overblown.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, it's tough to take your vacation from work and then go and grind yourself for 3 days and then go right back to work.
Yeah, I did
It's very tiring.
I did that for a while. Yeah. And I still enjoyed my trips, but it was... There's definitely... I still felt like I needed a day off when I got back to work.
Yeah. Which I actually had 3 days off after War Machine Weekend, so...
Lucky son of a...
Yeah, I just had all this vacation time built up because I never had time to take it. So it's just like, nice. Well, I'm going to take it all then.
Yeah, I'll be doing a ton of stuff at War Machine Weekend, too. I'm running, like, the entire painting lounge, all the painting competition. I'm doing more than I should.
I'm hopefully going to kill people as Vikings or...
Yeah.
Be a Lord of Waterdeep or something. I'll find something to do.
I'd still like to do try to do a Clusterfuckapalooza. That was supposed to be in Nathan's Court to try to arrange this time around. And
what's that?
Just a podcast with
grab everyone who ever podcasts and put them all in front of microphones and do like a musical chairs type situation. Problem is most podcasters hate podcasting. So when you ask them to be like, hey, you want a podcast layer on vacation? They're like, no.
Yeah, I don't know. Ours is just like a continuation of conversations we have outside of podcasting.
Yeah,
it's not. I mean, once last week, I didn't really care for it because it's like trying to drone on about a topic, and I just don't care for that. I'd rather just have a natural, organic conversation because I just don't really care if I'm on a podcast or not.
I don't think any of us really think of it as a job, I guess. I think the second we start thinking of it as a job, we'll probably stop doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how Muse thinks of theirs, but...
For us, it's always been... it's something we enjoy. I'll speak for me personally. It's something that I enjoy doing, but like a lot of things, it's hard to get started. Like just thinking about doing it, because it's an effort. It's an investment, because we do force ourselves to stay on topic and try to have something interesting to say every week. So it gets to the point where I'm like, I have to like work myself up to be in a good mood so that I'm not like, because I have to put your show face on and all that. And it's just, so it takes some effort to get started. But then once I actually make myself do it, I enjoy it every time. But
I don't have any of that in me. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be on anybody else's podcast.
Tort did make a mention though. We did leave something for Nate to organize. For the Clusterfuckapalooza. I mean, he's done it well for the last couple of years. This year, I don't think he's...
He's clearly more organized than us. He has a sheet with at least 3 things written on it as an agenda.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's three times more than us, so
but,
that's pretty organized.
I think he was more disappointed that there was only 2 people that released their copies of last year's Clusterfuckapalooza. I think it was us and I don't even know who.
Did other people not like the quality of it or what?
I
know that's the only time we didn't release something is because the quality was completely loathsome. And that, you know, if you've heard some of our stuff,
if you listen to ours last year for quality, we had a drunk Kurt Heinemann on our podcast for the entire time. And that was not the entire time, but for like the last like half hour, it was just him being drunk and yelling into the microphone.
If everybody is drunk, a good time can be had, but if one person is drunk, it's not a good time.
It was not a good time.
It's so awful. Well, like, dude, you're Kurt. Drunk, go away is the only response you can have.
I love Kurt. Kurt, he's awesome, but man, when he's in his really, really drunk, very clingy phase, he was not good to be on a podcast.
God, I forget who that guy was. I was drunk that whole first War Machine weekend.
Eric Deitch.
Fucking whipped my ass twice. I was drunk. One time he lost, he's like, shit, I didn't have a drink yet. He was a bastard. Just pissed drunk, whipping my ass. It was terrible.
I haven't seen him for a while.
He's a good guy.
I think he works for... Riot or some one of the game companies out west.
He used to do a lot of stuff for their website too, and it doesn't do that much
anymore. Here I thought he was drinking a soda the whole time he was beating me. I was a fucking
Jack and Coke.
Half a soda. That just makes it even worse.
Oh, speaking of gaming companies out west, anybody else fans of Heroes of the Storm here?
Yeah.
If I had the time,
you have time. Your child is not actually going to get in trouble yet. You can put a cage around him; he'll be fine.
I can put the cage around him, but then he just screams.
Oh well, then you know to put
earplugs.
Earplugs, yes. Yeah, anyway, pray you're not in an apartment.
I watched the World Championships recently, and North America beat Korea, which is fucking unheard of for an esport for Korea to get beat.
Wow,
they have what was reflexes the, on that stuff.
Do you know what the team makeup was?
Cloud9. When they they played two games against DK, the Koreans. The final one was actually interesting because it was both times Cloud9 was using, they called it asymmetrical team construction. They used off the wall heroes. The first one on Dragonshire, they picked Rexxar, and they would send the bear up top to the shrine while Rexxar was just like hanging out by the gate, making sure no one was coming to kill him, which was pretty cute. Their last game was insane. So they put. The team they put together was Leoric, Tassadar, Brightwing, Abathur, and Murky.
Okay. And that was like all support characters.
And they just...
Leoric.
Leoric's a warrior. Tassadar is a support, but he's a DPS support. And then Abathur is a specialist. He is the most special of the specialists.
Correct.
Anyway, what was cool about it was they just had Leoric... get up like a whole bunch of globes during the first part of the game so that he respawned from death a lot faster. Yep. And then it was on Cursed Hollow. So every time an objective would come up, they would just zerg the objective and Leoric and Murky would just keep getting killed. So I kept thinking they were losing. I'm like, oh God, they're losing. Like I really want them to beat the Koreans. Come on guys. You got to stop getting killed. Cause King Caffeine on Leoric just kept getting killed and just kept getting killed. But then every time I felt like, they'd been feeding too much and all was lost. It'd be like, the casters would be like, oh, and a keep just went down. Like, what? Like, Abathur had just been sieging through it. So they were just like stalling out fights while these like two unkillable characters were zerging the opponents. And Abathur would just siege through and destroy a keep. And siege through and destroy a keep. It was ridiculous. And the Koreans were so baffled by the strategy that they were just like, I don't know what to do.
Nice.
It was glorious. And then they 3-0'd one of the European teams in the finals.
Did you see Cho'Gall? The new picture of Cho'Gall?
Oh, my God. I'm excited. Are you familiar with the game at all? Or the style? It's a MOBA, so five-player teams.
You're probably familiar with Cho'Gall, at least. He's the two-headed ogre that's got two different voices. And he's a character for Heroes of the Storm that two players can play at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Two players on the same hero. So I don't know how it's going to work. Like, if one person is in charge of hell,
it'll probably be hilarious hell, but hell nonetheless.
They also, their release for him is interesting. They're releasing him like a virus, basically. He's given to a certain number of people at random. And the only way to get Cho'Gall is to play with someone. In their Cho'Gall two times, and then you get him.
Nice.
And then if you play four games, if you spread him to two other people, basically, they give you some gold.
Oh, okay.
So they just like it's an incentivized virus, basically.
That's clever. Using the powers of evil for good.
I'm very happy because that was like one of the very first Blizzard parody things for April Fools.
Cho'Gall, he is a WoW character, right?
Yeah.
What dungeons he in?
He's Twilight. Twilight, oh shoot.
It's from the expansion.
Bastion of Twilight. He's from Cataclysm.
Yeah, and the expansion I didn't play, so I can't help you there.
And I think he was in there before that too. I think he was in BC and
I remember the name
Cho'Gall. Yeah. I think he was from. I think he was even in Warcraft 3.
He might be Warcraft in Warcraft 3.
Oh, yeah. That might have been from Warcraft 3.
Yeah, MOBAs. The whole genre is built off of
the Warcraft.
Yeah, yeah, it's like
all of Blizzard characters.
Yeah, it was a Warcraft. Originally, it was just a Warcraft mod.
Right, like
it was just this custom map built in inside of Warcraft 3 called Defense of the Ancients, Dota, and and so it's basically just like you have a hero, like a Warcraft hero,
yep.
And that's what you play. One of them, and there's five on each team. It's actually quite a bit of fun.
I'm sure it is. I'm just not very quick at those games anymore.
Yeah, it's not actually the most reaction intensive game. It's not as twitchy as trying to play StarCraft or even Warcraft, which was the slowest of the RTSs. Like, I do not have the actions per minute to play StarCraft or Warcraft.
Yeah, they're hard to play against those kids. Like, this goddamn 14-year-old kid will be dead. And then they're snotty about it.
You know, like,
listen,
you.
Kid, at least I can do work. The second I turn 19, I'm not going to be a worthless bum on my mom's couch because nobody will hire me.
Yeah.
But for right now, yep, you're kicking my ass in Warcraft.
But so
that is a fact.
The MOBA community is a little bit older, not a lot, but the pros are all like low 20s.
Yeah.
But, I'm able to play it, and I've never...
Twitch gives way to thought.
And I've never prided myself on my Twitch abilities. I'm not spectacular, but a lot of it is more macro, like make sure everybody gets to the right place on the map, which you have time to consider.
Mm-hmm. I was decent at World of Warcraft, but that's because you can usually anticipate it. So you knew the reaction was coming.
If you liked Warcraft PvP, you probably would like Heroes of the Storm.
I did. I like my warrior, and I like playing a healer both in Warcraft PvP.
It's not that much. You don't have that many abilities to learn, and it's really about positioning to make sure you're in the right area in the right time. I like the game a lot. Even playing against AI, it's actually still a lot of fun.
Yeah, I have low energy lately, so.
I spectate the game almost as much or more than I actually play it. But that was definitely how I was with StarCraft. I watched the shit out of some StarCraft 2. I would not ever touch that game because it just makes you feel bad, especially after you watch the pros enough so you know what it's supposed to look like. And then you're like, all right, we're 6 minutes into the game and I have one base and like a barracks. And then I'm like, I know I'm supposed to have three bases and like six barracks by now, but it just didn't seem to work out that way for me.
Here comes the steamroll, and I'm done.
My issue with those type of games is I always wanted to make sure everyone stayed living. So I would try to see if I can complete it as most efficiently as possible without losing troops. And those games are not made for that. They're made for you just killing everybody or you losing half your troops, but you're still winning.
And I've played the campaigns for all of those games.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah.
I'm actually really looking forward to Legacy of the Void, the campaign for the last leg of the StarCraft 2 is coming out like next week.
Yeah, I did Warcraft 3. I never did the StarCraft, but Warcraft 3 was really fun campaign-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually replaying those not too terribly long ago. I stall out. Every time I go back to play through it, I stall out in the Orc campaigns because I don't like them very much. I don't like playing the Orc armies.
I like the little Chain Lightning Dog Rider guy. I don't know. I like him.
Thrall.
He's just the king of the orcs. No, he's a chain lightning dog riding guy.
Just green.
That reminds me of the Lord of the Rings game. Sometimes I'll have a character and I have no idea what they are. Like, this guy with the scepter or something. And Nathan will be like, you mean the ruler of Gondor?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. Death and Orc. Danny Whore. I don't know. Good dives.
No, but the problem is that it comes after the Undead campaign. It's my absolute favorite. I fucking love playing the Undead army.
That game, the way it starts, where you play the same guy twice, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's so good.
You're like, I'm the good guy paladin. I'm the bad guy paladin.
Oh, that's same guy. That's when Arthas does the color.
Human campaign Arthas, Undead campaign Arthas. Yep,
that's awesome. That's just amazing.
And the Undead army is just so much more fun because you get necromancers that raise up the skeletons. And, it's just better.
God, I remember playing Warcraft 2, and they didn't have fucking healers on the orc side. And some of the campaign missions without a healer just made you want to fucking scream.
Yeah, that's the issue with the Horde campaign in Warcraft 3 as well, is until like three quarters of the way through almost, you don't get the witch doctors, so you have no healers.
Yeah, it's just miserable. And
you're just like smashing grunts in until
yeah, the one I'm thinking about on Warcraft 2 is you started with like two necromancers and 10 grunts, and you had to get through this fucking tunnel with no reinforcements and no way to heal your guys after the battle. And if you lost the guy, all you got was like two shitty skeletons out of your necromancers. And it was just miserable.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
Yeah, I remember playing the crap out of StarCraft 1 in the Brood War expansion. And I own all the collector's editions for all of StarCraft 2. I have never played them through. I only got them for pets for my WoW character.
Pokemon addict.
Yeah. Oh my god. I have almost all the pets. I just don't have some of the collector's edition ones.
The Wings of Liberty campaign is decent. It's a little bit fragmented unless you play through if you look up like what order you're supposed to play it in, it makes a lot more sense.
Mm.
But if you just play, because they let you make choices. Oh. Unfortunately, what that leads to is getting cutscenes in the order in orders that don't make sense.
Well, that makes no sense at all.
Because like you go to one particular event where Raynor, like some bad shit happens and he gets depressed.
Sure.
So if you go to the stuff that happens after that, that's supposed to happen after that first, you have this like mopey depressed Raynor and you're not sure why.
It's all just like the story to like Final Fantasy 12. Like, I don't know what's happening here. Please just stop and let me play the game.
The Zerg campaign has some storytelling like WTF moments, but it flows a lot better. And that campaign is fucking stupid fun to play because Kerrigan is broken as hell. So you can just like power through most fights with just her.
That sounds fun. Yeah,
it is.
Just get in there and just own with your hero.
She's one of the characters from in Heroes as well.
Yeah, she's in Heroes of the Storm.
Does she ride a wolf and have chain lightning?
She can ride a wolf, but no chain lightning. Yeah. Thrall has chain lightning.
Thrall does have chain lightning.
That I'm aware of.
And Falstad has got
Thrall's large one of the characters in that game. That's cool.
Pretty much anybody you can think of is either in the game or probably in development from any of the Blizzard properties.
Yeah. I didn't like that many characters in World of Warcraft. I only played for the social aspect, I guess, if that makes any sense. I didn't care for any of the WoW storylines. I thought they were all pretty terrible. I didn't play the second expansion.
They've been getting better in their storytelling, at least. I mean, at least Warlords is kind
of
neat.
The 0 to 60 of WoW, the classic WoW, had no story at all worth telling.
The levels 30 through 40 was the worst leveling ever in that stupid game.
You're just like, I'm going to be grinding on this plane because I'm out of quests.
My roommate do it for me while I was working.
It's a challenging medium to try to tell a story in.
Yeah, well, which is why I never bothered listening to or watching the story. I just like, the quest is to go collect 6 goat hearts. I'm going to go get 6 goat hearts.
Because either you're trying to make everyone, every single one of these 10 million people feel like the center of the story, which is dumb.
Right.
Or you have to put the story to the side of the gameplay, like separate it from the gameplay and make people go look for it.
Yeah.
And then most people don't see it.
Right.
And I think they did some of both. But because like the Warcraft stories, which World of Warcraft is obviously a continuation of, are all fairly compelling.
Yeah, they are good ones. Yeah, Arthas we were talking about.
Trying to continue them through an MMO just didn't, because I never got into like going to find the story and really like delving into it. Marshall would be a better person to talk to about that because he always did. I just didn't have the time for that shit.
Yep. You're like, I'm going to get to max level. I'm going to start raiding.
That's it. There's purples to get.
I heard that, don't have the time to play it, the Knights of the Old Republic, their new expansion, the Fallen Sun or Fallen Lords, whatever, that it does actually, that's from people who played it, they said that it gets it back to the storytelling level that Knights of the Old Republic had, the original BioWare games or whatever company put that out.
Because those were just single player games, right?
Oh, yep. You're talking about the MMO Star Wars one. Yeah. Well, that one was built more as a...
They tried to do the storytelling, but it was... I played from day one. It wasn't that good. I mean, it tried, but it was kind of heavy-handed in how it tried to force you into the story. And the only thing that people would play in a group with a story was drinking games for who won the conversation role so that it was their character talking this time. Mm. I got drunk a few times. No, it's apparently this time, this whole new story with a father and two sons that came from the edge of nowhere, it's supposed to be a lot better.
Hmm. I find it surprising that Star Wars can't seem to have the hold on a storyline driven system as compared to other, like an MMO. You figure that would be like the perfect world you would want to play in if you like the Star Wars world, is playing in that world.
They haven't taken market share from WoW in any way.
Yeah, a little bit, like a sliver. But I mean, you figure that would be like number one out there.
Free to play thing is all that's also the way for people to, or developers to make their money now. Free to play, microtransaction like crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. It's proven effective. They don't, even if 90% of the population doesn't spend a dime, they get a one percenter that's an addict. They just exploit that addict for everything they're worth.
Yeah. I did find it funny though that I think it was Star Wars Galaxies, the MMO that was before that. One of my friends had a character that was trapped in his house because there was a Krayt dragon that kept on spawning outside of his house, so he could never leave.
Nice.
MMOs have always been at least intriguing to me because I enjoyed them from a very one-dimensional aspect. It was always high-end PvE. That was all I was interested in. I was like, give me the max level.
Where'd you start off as?
Rating, because I don't care for PvP.
Favorite part of Classic WoW is that you could go and do the high-end PvE and get the purple gear and then go into the battlegrounds. Oh, man. My warrior, I had two rogues spring up on me at the same time and stun lock me, and they got me down to a quarter health, and I know they were thinking they got me. I turned around, I two-shot at the first one, I three-shot at the next one. Sorry, guys, you're outwitted.
Yeah.
You can work together all you want.
It doesn't work that way anymore. No. Now the PvP.
I know it.
PvP gear is what's good in PvP, and PvE gear is good in PvE.
And it's really difficult to do both now.
Yeah, it's
time consuming.
Yeah, it's an almost equivalent time investment to do either. They've vastly diluted the commitment level it takes to be good at PvE, or maybe not to be good at it, but to allow you in.
You're right.
And unfortunately, in making it more accessible, which is probably a good thing
for most people, it's a good thing.
What they've also done is destroyed a lot of the like mid to high end rating guilds that used to exist. Like, because it used to be I'm good enough that I could just apply to a couple guilds and I would get in, and I would have a guild and I'd raid with them for a year, however long I was playing, and then I'd eventually get bored and stop. Now if I come back, like the from what I could see, it was the guilds that existed were obscenely high end, and then everybody else is just doing the crappy junk pug system, and I hate that pug system for that reason. But what I was going to say, MMOs are interesting because I've always enjoyed them from that one aspect. But there are others like the PvP. And then there's the even weirder stuff, like the people who actually roleplay.
Yeah.
Using the game. Marshall used to do that.
Yeah.
And I would always look in. It felt sort of voyeuristic, being like, what's going on in there? But when he heard about the newest expansion, which is Legion, they're bringing, like, the Legion is coming back.
The Burning Legion, sweet. The crazy orcs.
And now, well, the crazy orcs were a byproduct.
Oh, yeah.
The demons in general. Because that was one of the Legion demons corrupting the orcs, turning them red and crazy. But they're adding a new class. They're putting Demon Hunter in the game as a playable class. And Marshall saw that and he's like, I'm never going back. The role playing is just going to be filled with nothing but people thinking they're sweet for making another fucking emo Demon Hunter.
That game, for me, I swore I'd never go back as soon as they released Kung Fu Pandas. I just, not in my game. I'm sorry, not in my game. I'll not play a game with Kung Fu Pandas in it.
There's not as many as you think they are in the
game. I don't care if there's just one. If there is one Kung Fu Panda in your game, I'm not fucking playing it.
There was a Kung Fu Panda in Warcraft 3, though.
Yeah, there was.
Was there?
Yeah, Panderas were in. That's why there everyone wanted them.
One. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll allow you one as a playable class. I felt like it was too just stupid.
Chen Stormstout, and he was a drunken Kung Fu Panda.
Okay. Yeah. Why are Murlocs allowed as a player class?
That I don't understand. They released Kung Fu Pandas, but they didn't release the Sweet Swamp Men.
Yeah, Murlocs.
I mean, nothing is as sweet as a Murloc. The best time I ever had at that game is the one where you got the stupid Murloc costume. It's like this hand-sewn costume. It looks like, you know, like a teddy bear.
Yeah.
And you're running around, and the little Murlocs think you're their mommy and stuff. I mean, one of your eyes has popped off, and it's springing back and forth. And, I mean, oh, my God. And the way you run, you're like, ah. Oh, my God, that's so amazing. I didn't want to leave that zone. I think we're just going to stay here and be Murlocs.
That is the best quest.
Oh, my God.
I think if they would make a Murloc class, they would make all the text that you couldn't actually read any of the text. So it would just automatically change it to rah, 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 rah. Like, you wouldn't be able to understand anybody, and you'd have to try to complete a raid.
Yeah.
That would be great. Even for just like a April Fool's trick is just turn everybody into Murlocs for a day. I would want a server like that.
I think I would have played a lot more WoW if I would have played on a open PvP server. That was
fun. You seem to enjoy the PvP a lot more. I played it a little.
I
bit
I liked
here
the
and there.
Open PvP a lot too,
where you go into like Torn Mill and.
I remember me and a druid. We're down in the fucking tunnels with the bugs in Classic. You remember that?
Encourage.
And they were all all elites down in there. Yep. And it was just me and him against these elites, and they were nasty.
I remember.
And I accidentally cleaved into a flagged rogue and killed him. And then the druid healed me, and so we were both flagged. And I'd be fighting two or three of those stupid elite terrible things. And the rogue would jump the druid. And I'd have to turn around, intercept the rogue, and kill him. While I'm getting beat on by these three things, while the druid's trying to keep himself alive through a rogue. And the rogue, he could not do it, and he tried for like an hour. And so he went and got a friend, and they would try, both of them jump in the druid, and me having to live through the elite creatures while I killed them both. They would try, both of them jump in me, and the druid have to heal through the elite creatures and through them, and they failed. They tried one on each of us and failed. It was just ridiculous. It was so much fun. It's just silly fun that happens outside of the normal game.
Yeah. And sometimes you got that. I played a couple of my max level characters long standing on open PvP servers, and it's not as much fun as you think, because turns out the assholes gravitate to open
that,
PvP
I can buy that too.
I had one good experience, and it was leveling a hunter. And it was right when, either towards the end of the first expansion, Burning Legion, right?
Burning Crusade.
Burning Crusade was the first expansion. One. Or the second expansion, the Wrath of the Lich King, when Beastmaster hunters were nuts. And so I was just leveling my Beastmaster hunter, and I'm always, like, I'm 100% of the time courteous when I'm leveling. I will not attack other people because it doesn't interest me to do so. I'm just trying to complete my quests and like go from point A to point B. So if, like, I was an alliance at the time. If I saw a horde character, I just wave at them and continue on my way. But then occasionally I would get jumped. And this was the only character that I had like a 100% positive experience on, because almost guaranteed every time I got jumped, they would die. They would just die a horrific death. It was like a rogue would jump me, and I would just press, like, I would be stunned, but I would press the button that made my
chicken would come over and kill it.
That made my kitty turn big and red.
The only thing that a hunter's ever had around me is the stupid chicken.
So I played a hunter, and my character, or my pet of choice, was a tall strider.
Yeah.
Because those things made the most obnoxious noises. Yeah,
so you're up there tanking and all you hear. And then, so once one person realized how obnoxious it is, like, every hunter does it. So you're up there, and there's like five of these things squawking in your ear while you try to tank. And then they figure out, oh, I can hit this button, and it makes the thing squawk. So they're spamming the squawking button. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, I made it so my arcane shot, I made it so I tied it to pet attack. So every time I hit that, all of a sudden you hear Tyson, which was the name of the chicken, just go.
So oh my God.
Yeah, I quested through Stranglethorn Vale, and I killed like three different rogues. And the most fun was when I was in Teneris, and I was just questing and killing like those pirates that are on the shore camps or whatever it was. And a Voidwalker comes and starts beating on my face, and I'm like, God. vaguely annoying. And my cat just goes sprinting off. I'm like, where's he going? I'm like, oh, whatever. And I'm just like, this pirate's almost dead. I just kept shooting the pirate with my bow, and then I see the Voidwalker disappear.
Like, oh. Your cat comes running back from God knows where.
Good job, cat. Comes swimming back through the water.
My favorite PvP story.
And then 10 minutes, I'll finish quick. Then 10 minutes later, like, a succubus comes and jumps on my face, and my cat goes running off. And I just press the button that makes him angry, and then I was like, because he goes swimming off into the water. The warlock was swimming out like way deep in the water, and then he sees me and sends his pet after me. And he tried to swim at me and like started putting corruption and stuff, but I just like walked away and got onto land where I could move at a reasonable speed, and I just saw him swimming through the water with this cat murdering me. I can't be good times. He tried to kill me like 5 times.
Yeah. Good times. Yeah, that's Warhammer Online we played, and it was an okay game up until right at the end of the max level. It was terrible, which means it was a terrible MMO.
They just didn't finish the end game.
Or bothered to balance it is what I heard. Yeah.
I was playing a Goblin Shaman, and they were like broken as hell in low levels. And I was taking a shortcut through one of the PvP zones just to go turn in a quest. And I had two guys jump me in that PvP zone. And I was like, oh, okay. So I just heal myself, keep running, stop, heal myself, keep running, stop. One of them was a Bright Wizard that did damage to himself as he was casting. I turned around, and there he was dead. He killed himself trying to kill me. And I looked at his friend, and his friend just turned and ran away. So, yeah. Oh, okay, I'll take it.
The standard PvP experience on a PvP server, though, is you're running along, questing, like trying to do your thing.
Getting ganked 5,000 times by a level 60.
Yeah, and then you try to turn in your quest, and your quest giver is dead, and then you get killed. And there's two assholes camping your town for no reason, because they get nothing from it other than a sick satisfaction of it's the same fucking 14-year-olds.
Right, I know it.
One of the game
days. I guess I played in a PvP server like that just really briefly, and we had that kind of stuff happening. And then the guy you're questing was like, fuck this, I'm going to go get my 60. And then it's this huge escalated brawl, and you're sitting in the back just watching these guys fight. And I don't know, I enjoyed that too. But
I played Dark Age of Camelot, and that traditionally was a PvE game, except for RVR with the realm versus realm. But that's only in those zones. But after the game was around for, I think, maybe about a year or so, then they introduced an actual PvP server. So it was everywhere except for the major cities. I remember in that game itself, when I first joined, so everybody was all leveling up at the same time. I remember running into the city and then sitting in the city, getting a giant group together. So when you would zone out of the city, everyone would scatter. It was like a herd mentality to see who can escape the quickest, because everyone would be outside camping the city. It was a very...
get two guys through each tribe. This will take 30 tribes. We'll be out there, but like the two guys will get stuck.
Oh, anybody didn't have like a speed buff or anything like that, it was pretty much just caught. Like, see ya, bye. Just run.
That was why that one PvP server was a good experience, was because it was a new server. No max level character transfers permitted, so everyone had started fresh. So there were some people that leveled faster than others, but they were probably, when I was level 30 or 40 or whenever, I was having a good time trying not to get into fights but then getting jumped and murdering people, was when like the guys who were going hard at it were still probably working on those high level zones.
I just like getting into scuffles and fights and stuff. I just don't even care.
Somebody was just talking about here is deep sea underwater warlock summons were also a thing, because warlocks would have to...
Oh, God. Argyll was the master of that shit. We'd get to that bridge going up to in Ubers, and if you were in that dungeon, you would not accept a warlock summon, because they'd get up to that bridge, and they'd drop your ass right off that bridge. Deep water. And it was just terrible. Like, you'd say... They'd be like, you know, Draven wants you to summon. That's Brian. Like, no. I ain't doing that. Fuck you. I'm walking. They're like, no, for real. This time. Yeah, this time. Sure. I'm walking.
There's a new way that you control people as well. So mages have got a portal spell that is ancient Dalaran. So you remember where Dalaran was, right? Over by Hillsbrad Foothills. Yeah. Except for now it's just a giant crater.
Yeah.
So if you pop out your portal for Ancient Dalaran, when people click on it, they just fall to their death. Nice. Yeah. So I pull that out once in a while.
Good times. Yeah, we played with a bunch of assholes.
It's fun, though. I'm pretty sure everyone did. Oh, that was kind of, that was the magic. But it was
we had a lot of fun, though.
It was a mystical time.
Yeah.
And I sometimes miss it, and I went back to play in the most recent expansion, and the magic failed to rekindle. I don't know what it is, if the game has changed or if the people just aren't, if it's not like the same crowd and that changes the dynamic. Because I had never had... Like, I talked to a lot of people, Chad in particular, who was like, yeah, I made some great friends when I played WoW. I didn't really make any friends, but I had good times playing with the people for the time that we played.
I mean, I had friends in-game, but we never became friends out of game.
Yeah.
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 So I don't know.
But, man, they were fun.
So I don't know if it was that I didn't, like, go back and find the same... my old crowd, or if it was that they weren't there, or
if that game just doesn't even get close to existing anymore.
If the game is just not the same.
I think it's really the change of the dynamic of the game, because it's not really about the hardcore rating unless you just want to do it for the just to do it.
But you can get almost equivalent gear by doing super softcore shit.
Yeah, they did everything really for the casual gamer. They made it so you don't have to go and really spend, you know, 3-4 weeks learning a fucking encounter anymore. You can go in there and just run it with LFR and get gear that's only like 10 points shorter than what you would get by running a normal instance. I don't think that mentality of the game exists for a lot of folks.
I think for all of us that used to like it, probably would hate it now.
I'm fine with it. I like at least going to see what the encounter looks like. I haven't really done any of the core encounters since it first started, when we actually had enough people to dedicate time to do that. Like,
Classic was the best of times and the worst of times. It was like...
I did not care for Classic. I'm not that guy. I loved Burning Crusade, and I loved Wrath of the Lich King.
I really like Classic. I mean, it had really sadistic parts to it. Like trying to get the one warlock spell was like...
the mount?
Or yeah.
The warlock mount was...
Yeah, was that what it was? Like Brian spent 3,000 hours getting that one mount or something. And then there was like these, like the Iron Dwarf reputation that you needed to get. Was like...
Or Brood of Nosdarmu.
Oh, yeah. They're both like thousands of hours. So you get your
fucking ring? Oh, you have to run the AQ-40 like 50 billion times?
Yeah. That stuff was all too sadistic. But I like the old school where you went in and got the raid gear and then you were a fucking PvP boss. I just really liked.
Yeah. I never found a guild that could field 40. So we had problems. We had problems with that.
I would hate Classic if I didn't have a guild that did 40. We did 40 all the way through BWL.
We were able to run.
No, we were max. We were doing max 40. We got near the very... Well, we cleared out Arachnid Quarter.
We're on BWL. I just didn't have time for it anymore.
Yeah, we cleared out Arachnid Quarter and got up to... I think we did kill Patches.
Patchwork? Hard.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
They were nasty encounters back then.
Hell yeah.
I watched a friend of mine raided with a Chinese guild. So I got to see a lot of it from a third-person perspective.
Dude, we got caught on the stupid dragon that gave you flame buffets for months. He was nasty.
Flame gore? Yeah.
Yeah, he was nasty. He's just like, if you... Yeah.
You just have people who don't understand the encounter and just wipe us, too.
Yeah, if one person doesn't understand the encounter, they turn into the... fucking doom of you. But then it's hard as shit. There was like a untauntable, or it was tauntable, but there's a knockback tank transition, and if you didn't get into the right spot in the right time, the guy would come around the corner and see your raid and it was over. Like he could only have one person in his line of sight at any one time or you lost. It was nasty. And so you had to have him backed into this little corner. And you had to have your tank in a spot where your healers had line of sight to him, but that he didn't. So it was really, really position intense. It was hard.
I remember that and the original fight for the second dragon.
Oh. So
the second dragon was... But actually, no.
Even the first one was hard.
The first one was ridiculously hard. So you played Alliance back in Vanilla, right?
No, I played Horde.
You played Horde? Okay, so then you know our troubles, though, trying to finish BWL in that first room there where you have to run the Circus of Doom where you're just having everything chase everything in a circle.
Well, yeah, in the Alliance guys, it could just have a dwarf hit a bunch of stuff and then bubble and sit there.
Or the Paladin.
Sorry, the Paladin.
Yeah, Paladins were so much easier.
And then, yeah, Hordes we had to like...
I mean, Paladin was just so much better than Shaman for every part of raiding. Hordes,
instead of just having that ding-dong sit there with a shield up, they had to have Hunters run to each corner and hit these really nasty mobs and try to kite them. And if they lost heal aggro to them, they would run up and one-shot your healers. So they had to be like constantly shooting four or five different things, running in a circle, staying ahead of it, and staying ahead of heal aggro. It was hell.
God, yeah. No, I was a hunter then. That sucks
was my... I think I was a warrior, so I don't think I was really...
You had the horrible chink transition in the second boss, so Valstraz was horrendous.
That was really easy. Wait 5 seconds and spam execute. It really wasn't very hard. unless you were faster. What I ran into is I was faster than that Carnotine that was the fourth tank, and I was supposed to be the fifth.
Yeah.
And so I'm just spamming execute, and I'm doing like massive damage, and then we'd go to tank transition, and I'd be so far ahead on aggro that I'd fuck everything up, and he'd turn to the raid and kill them all.
My experience with BWL is just running through it on my Paladin and hitting constant. Crate and soloing the raid.
Because you can
do that now.
Yeah. That was a hard dungeon.
He's actually still kind of tricky at the first one because people can kill the dragon too quick if you can't kill the eggs quick enough.
Yeah, it's not tough for Paladin. I don't remember why. I think it's because I am able to generate a whole bunch of heal aggro or something.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, just all right to you.
And then too many of them get on the dragon, I just exit the dragon and he starts running back at me, but all the mobs get there first and die on my consecration, and then I just pick up the mind controller again.
So yeah, I had troubles with my shaman recently. I couldn't do it until I decided, like, just I'm going to...
Another person in there.
No, I just dropped my fire totem guy, and he just ran over there just murdering everything as I control the dragon realm. But yeah,
it was tough, but it was... I mean, but because it was tough, you had a... element of satisfaction when you pass those things.
And that remained throughout most of the next two expansions. Yeah. And that's when I stopped, was at the end of Wrath of the Lich King.
Cataclysm was still tough.
I love Cataclysm. That's probably one of my favorite expansions. I know a lot of people...
I thought it was better than Wrath 2.
Yeah.
At least the start was. I like Valstraz every once in a while, just fucking nuke your whole area.
Or you mean Deathwing.
Deathwing, yeah.
Does he do that still, do you know?
No idea. I don't think so.
Yeah, he would be in a zone and be like, Deathwing's coming, like, and then he'd just be at the respawn point. That was good times. It wasn't bad. But.
Ulduar was my favorite raid of all time.
It was a beautiful raid.
Wrath. But, yeah, I started after that in the stupid circus one.
Oh, yeah, you started after the whole expansion went downhill.
Yeah, the circus one was really stupid, but then the Ice Throne was pretty cool.
Ice Crown was cool, yeah.
Not as cool as Ulduar. But it was cool.
Ulduar is, it is a, if you just run through it now, you could probably do it now even then.
That's the one with the siege tanks and stuff. I did parts of it.
Yeah, the very, leading up to the end is
it would have been, I can see why it was 1,000 times better than the circus, because the circus was 6 bosses and done, and this was like this huge sprawling complex.
Six bosses in a single room, and then a basement.
Right. Yeah, that one was pretty lame.
In a basement, and as you're falling, a whole bunch of Death Knights casting water walks, everyone dies.
I never did that. I always did that.
Yeah, especially if they didn't like how the raid was going in the fog, you'd always get that crap. But yeah. That one, actually, there was a big difference between Wrath and Cataclysm, as Cataclysm went more to the classic style. Like in Wrath of the Lich King, like you had an infinite mana pool as a druid. And it was just, how fast can I throw my heals out there? Uh-oh. And Cataclysm, you would, if you tried to heal as fast as you could, you'd be at 0 mana in 40 seconds.
Yeah, because they changed
your pool.
Changed a lot of the like mid-level spells. I think they took all those out at Cataclysm. It might have been.
I don't know. I mean, the mana regen, I know for a fact, the mana regen was much, much harsher. Like, all of a sudden, you having Innervate as a druid made you a big deal. And it was even, like, a nerfed Innervate. It was only, like, 33% of your mana pool.
I think Innervate's... it's, at this point, it's either completely gone, or the druid can only use it on themselves. I don't remember which it is.
Oh.
I know they've maintained that to the point where for the DPS classes, resource management is not as much of an issue.
Right.
For mage, warlock, whatever, they all have tools to get their mana back whenever they choose. Like, Evocate has a very short cooldown right now for mages.
Yeah.
It still is a huge DPS loss. But, like, if you're playing as fire or frost, you never have to use it. But for arcane, it's a tool. But for healers, it's all about mana management. That's how they've kept it.
Yeah, it's a different style. I mean, I don't know that one's better than the other.
Yeah.
Like, healing all out and knowing who you need to heal all out versus healing at the right rate for your mana, it's just two different things. But, I mean, it was a lot different. At least it was a change. I don't know. I like the change of pace. I'd like them flip back and forth a little more often, maybe.
I think the end of Panda wasn't that bad too. With Siege of Olgrimmar, it was kind of neat. That
I saw like half of it in LFR one time.
I saw the whole thing in LFR. I've done Mythic with recently though. I've gone through with some folks. That's kind of cool. You're kind of going invading Olgrimmar with a bunch of guys to kill Garrosh.
Because, yeah, the replacement Warchief is such an unbelievable fuck-up that he, like, ruins the whole Horde. So that both the Horde and the Alliance are like, yeah, we have to invade Orgrimmar and kill
it. the odd part, though, too, is so I've been going back and doing some of the stuff.
Riding a dog, shooting chain lightning, so you'd have been fine.
I've been going back and doing some of the stuff from Wrath of the Lich King, and Garrosh is all over there because that's basically when he's put in as charge of Warchief then. So it's like, why don't they just go and kill him now? Like, this is, we have access to this time period. I mean,
I hate time travel in general. I liked it in WoW when you were going back to Stratholm as somebody else, but you were always going back to observe or whatever, or to correct the time.
Well, Cullen, you helped participate with that.
Yeah,
with
but you corrected time. Somebody went back and fucked it up, and you went back and corrected.
Oh, yeah.
It, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
and that I don't mind as time travel, but like just generic time travel, I really despise.
The opening of the Black Portal was kind of a cool intro in that.
Yeah, too. The whole Caverns of Time was pretty neat. And for the most part, other than the whole newest expansion, which was, it's time travel-ish. But for the most part, it was just that they want
you to be able to explore these big events in the game with your characters. Right. And I understand that, and it was fun. Culling of Stratholm was one of the better raids. It was really fun going around and killing all the innocents.
And the newest expansion was just like, oh no, someone's like gone, or they somehow got back to this period in time, but it's sort of an alternate dimension. Whatever, just go have fun. And they don't really bother to explain it too hard.
Well, that's Garrosh. Garrosh
and back and an evil member of the Bronze Dragonflight. Blah 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 blah. Go have fun.
Yeah.
So it doesn't it doesn't screw with the timeline at all.
I see what they're doing because those are really fun raids. I just still don't like time travel as a story, but it's different when you're participating in something fun.
Yep. I don't know. Hopefully, I'll have the urge to go back. Like I've been watching the Legion trailers and I've gotten like the little light goes on. It's like, ooh.
Was that when King Viren was flying his airship and then suddenly the Horde airship flies in with Sylvanas is on it?
Yeah, it's a cool.
That was a really cool scene.
Well, this is a Blizzard podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Blizzard podcast.
Blizzcast.
Well, BlizzCon was this weekend too. So
it is. It goes. I think it goes on through next weekend.
No, it's only just this weekend.
What that son of a bitch? DeShazer told me that it was the same time as War Machine weekend.
It normally is.
Fuck, I could have gone. Oh, well.
I really wish I could have gone this year, except for GameholeCon was going. GameholeCon was pretty cool, though. It was solid.
Way better than last year.
Yes. It was bigger.
Much bigger. Much more in terms of people showing up. And
really?
Oh, yeah.
It only seemed like a couple hundred people.
Well, I mean, there's
more than 10.
There's a ton upstairs, a ton downstairs too.
Oh, there was upstairs.
There was a whole huge area upstairs.
Yeah, last year it was pretty well confined to. I can't remember how many rooms. In terms of floor space, it was probably double, if not better.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I wasn't there last year, but we did a lot of talking to Alex, and he had said that they've at least tripled the space that they had before. Their attendance has been growing in.
And was that mostly, what you call it, role-playing games?
Generally role-playing. That's what this year was really about, is expanding into more of board games, trying to get miniature games in there as well.
Halfway decent War Machine turnout.
Yeah, 20 folks both nights. I think they had 20 for the 1-point rumble, yeah. And that was.
I would say there's probably. I think there was close to 20 then today. I should have paid attention. There was an odd number. That's all I remember.
Oh, I could have probably played as the buy there too.
I always get upset going to cons to play War Machine because you end up paying a big entry fee and then spending your whole time playing War Machine.
Right. That was. There were other people that I didn't understand why they were paying for the badge for one day and then paying for the 50-point, and that's all they did. You know, that thing went from 10 o'clock until 10:30, I heard.
Or somebody that we could probably not mention by name that everyone else who was at the event will know could pay $50 for the event, pay $10 pay $50 for Game Hole Con for the day, and then pay $10 for the event, and then go home after the first round.
Or pay $50 and then pay for two events and show up for one of them, only be there for like 2 hours, and then not come back.
Oh. That may be the same person we're talking about.
No. This is someone else, because it was Friday night that they showed up.
I don't mind if it's like $50 or $60 for the convention, and that pays for three tournaments, and that's what I do for the weekend.
War Machine Weekend is a different, you know, that's what it's about. But like going to Gen Con even, it's just like...
I'm pretty much done with going to Gen Con to play War Machine forever. I might even be done with Gen Con forever. I've never really had a good time at Gen Con. I don't know if... I'm probably just doing it wrong. I just need to talk to some people that know how to Gen Con.
The only time I've ever enjoyed Gen Con is when I was in Milwaukee and we got forged badges. Free. Free fun. Awesome. I mean, Magic players are crooked. That's just how it is.
I mean, Gen Con is really not a War Machine con, though. I mean,
it's literally absolutely miserable for a War Machine, because trying to get your minis to and fro is going to be just a nightmare, right?
Yeah, carrying them through the crowds, dealing with.
I mean, I feel like if you're not wearing it on your body at Gen Con, it's probably just going to be really obnoxious.
Ben tells me that he goes to Gen Con most every year, and he just has fun. Going and playing degenerate Pathfinder characters, the ones that you can't play in home crowds because your GMs get mad at you. So he just goes and ruins Pathfinder games.
That's just the kind of jackassery.
While getting blitzed.
Yeah, that's the kind of jackassery that makes a weekend fun.
I'm like, maybe I'll do that with you next year. That sounds
and
like
just
fun.
Going around and sampling board games, because there's always a lot of demos. And I mean, that's the way to do one of them cons, I would think.
And then you kind of know what not to recommend later on.
Right.
Some of those games, I don't know how they think they're
even We're in an era with really, really great board games, but then there's also a million board games, and half a million of them are just awful, terrible piece of crap.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
But you get that one really incredible one, and it kind of almost makes up for the rest of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're coming out with such great board games now. It's impressive.
Well, it's like if you look at Board Game Geek, the list of like the X number greatest board games changes all the time.
Yeah.
It's like great ones keep coming out.
Yeah, they're coming out fast and furious.
It used to be 5 years ago or whatever, like Puerto Rico is the best board game. And now they're like, it's not even the best of its kind.
Well, right. Not even that. We picked up frickin' Zombies when that first came out. And that, honestly, we played Zombies all the time.
It's like the only one. Yeah.
We thought it was the greatest thing in the world until we actually played other good zombie games.
Yeah, and then, they came out with much better ones. Yeah. And even those, I think there's still room for improvement in the zombie genre.
Yeah.
As far as, I just don't like Zombicide that much, but...
You might like, I don't know if you might like Dead of Winter.
I've heard good things about Dead of Winter.
But Nate wants to play it. I own it. Nate wants to play it with us.
As I understand, it's not as much of a zombie game and more of like a resource management, and
which is fine.
It's like I guess it's
I
like,
just enjoy good games. I mean, I feel like I enjoy good games.
It's like somewhere in between Zombicide and Battlestar, because you've got like decisions to make as a team, but everyone has like an individual victory condition that they can also go shoot for. So there'll be situations like
where you kind of want somebody to get eaten,
or somebody's got a stockpile of medicine, and you're like, oh god, like something happened. Like, I got ill. Like, I need.
I'm gonna start a hospital.
And they're like, no, I need all this medicine. And you're like, what? And then you die. And then their win condition was like, end the game, like holding four medicine. And you're like, ah.
That ain't bad. If it's getting compared to Battlestar, it's usually not a bad thing. That's a fantastic game. Although you just got to watch the
expansions you put into it. But.
And what people you play with.
Yeah.
That is our favorite story.
A really bad sideline player will ruin the game for you.
That game is not... That game is... The one that you are thinking of is not the worst Battlestar game I've had by a long shot. That one had an enjoyable ending. It's the people that actually bother me the most are the ones that refuse to think. And so you get into situations where they're, like, someone gets bored and makes a stupid decision. Mm. And you're like, like, you're obviously a Cylon. And then the two Cylons are like, it's fucking Christmas, we win. Like, you can't, if you have a human player that gets bored and starts acting outside of the norm and then gives you a reason like, oh, I just wanted to see what would, like, I just wanted to spice things up. Like, nothing was happening. It's like,
that I can see that being really frustrating. Our group never plays that way. We always get baffled by other people that are like, yeah, the humans have a big advantage. We never can get the humans. We're too cutthroat, I think. As people in games, we're just cutthroat, and the humans just are at such a disadvantage when everyone's cutthroat.
So have you played Homeland?
No.
So Homeland is basically you're the CIA. You have a bunch of loyal agents, and then you have like a political
opportunist.
Political opportunist, you know, who wants to be in politics. And then there's an embedded spy, and the whole idea is you have these missions that kind of slowly
terrorist
go
operations
off operations that slowly fly off the map. You're supposed to try to complete those, make them, you know, stop them from happening. The best part about it is I was the hidden spy. And everybody else just failed so miserably that I was able to win. Because
it wasn't even close. Yeah, no, we got just
you just sit back and play normally and
still I still tanked a few of the missions here and there. In fact, I tanked one so bad that I had previously put cards on it, and I put more cards on it, and then I put a guy, a soldier on it so I could look at what the intel was. I'm like, oh, crap, I did this one. I didn't say that out loud. I'm like, oh, we should stop that mission from happening. So I threw him a bone. But Nate was the political opportunist, and he has to kind of play like a spy. And then Nathan already just flat out said that he was a spy. So then I was able to completely fly under the radar.
Yeah, having everyone focused on pointing at me. Yeah, that was fun.
But that was with like 1 point away from me winning the game. So
we always had epic games of Resistance. I still feel like that's one of the better. I mean,
had some good games of Resistance.
Resistance is usually just a shit ton of fun. And then the other game, and Battlestar, is usually a shit ton of fun. And they're very different for having the same type of mechanic.
Yeah.
One of them's got a lot more rulesy, and the other one's pure human element.
My best game of Resistance, Andy was playing. I got discovered as being a spy, or whatever the bad guys are.
Yeah.
In the very first thing that happened was somebody grabbed a card and like swiped my card and started chatting that I was a spy, and I just was not mentally prepared to start lying. And I was just like, so my face turned red or whatever, and he was like, oh, you got me. So I just spent the rest of the game chattering at them, and they kept listening to me, like trying to decipher the truth from the lies. And they got so put off course because I was focusing on a certain group of people, and one of them was actually a spy. But then Andy was just sitting over in the corner quietly, like I knew he was a spy the whole time. And then in the last mission, they're like, screw it, like, Andy, you're in. And I was just like, all right, we win.
that was the one where you had all four of us spies on one mission that only one failed. Well, no, all four of the spies didn't fail a mission, so we went on the last mission to, and then we all failed it.
Andy was in my best game of that too. The one where we're like, well, Nathan is the spy. First turn without going, and we would not send him on a mission the whole game, and he kept getting more and more and more mad, and it turns out he was a spy, and it just totally wrecked him. I mean, take one of their spies at random out of the game, but the first turn turns out to be good for the humans.
Yep.
God, was that the game that Katie called out Jeremy as being a spy the entire game?
Yeah, she just said it wrong.
And then she looked at his car, and she's like, I told you who's Resistance. No, he's a spy!
Oh man, that would just the amount of Nate rage every time you tell that story makes it the best game. I mean, there's other games that are maybe more epic, but just like
Nate rage is a good
that's a wonderful
barometer.
Yeah, because then he tries to wrap the logic around everything, and he just can't wrap.
Yeah,
the
there's
logic
no logic
around
that. Like me and Andy decided you were a spy for no reason. There's no logic. There's no logic. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just like you just got ran over. First turn, there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the life. Oh, that was wonderful.
Did you have any good experiences over the weekend, Nate?
Yeah, for the most part. Since I only did the 1-point rumble and then the spell draft. First time doing spell draft. That was actually something else.
What caster did you bring?
I brought Kaelissa. I decided to break Red out. I was going
seven focus. You get an Arc Node. You get
and Witch Hound.
Being able to Witch Hound, you get to be able to steal some focus off of people.
Yeah. And that feat is actually pretty solid when you're charging into each other pretty solidly.
You get the feat.
You still get the feat. Yeah.
Oh, that changes everything.
Yeah, I know. Those packs hit in the first one. It was a garbage pack except for Quicken, I think. +2 speed.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Next one comes around. The kid to my right gave up Eye of Menoth. Oh, like, oh, are you kidding me? I grab it. I throw the pack to the next guy.
How is that almost not everybody's like first pick?
I mean, he goes Starcross.
Pretty close to the best.
Which also is good. But no, every person that I saw that was running Starcross, you know, that was a way bigger hose to me than, you know, Eye of Menoth was to someone else. The next one that came up was Primed. Okay, the kid has Kaiazi Assassins. Why are you not grabbing that? Either you get stabbed to death or you're talking really fast landmines that can run through my guys. That's,
they hit really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit really hard with Primed, yeah.
Yeah, so it ended up, I went 2-1, lost the last one pair down because Rhett against a bunch of Gatorman posse, not the best thing ever.
Not if you're not Osian.
Yeah, exactly.
With Eye of Menoth.
Yeah, that helps. No. I mean, Jesus, Eye of Menoth for Strike Force. That's awesome.
Oh, yes. Oh,
man, is that strong.
Four Strike Force stripped apart a Convergence Jack.
This is just
Jack.
Like who's the boss in a lot of ways. Yeah. You really are looking at, like, how can I turn on Strike Force and Mage Hunter Assassins? That makes Red a really good faction.
Yeah.
It is like who's the boss, but it's not because...
Quick and Eye of Menoth Strike Force. Yeah, that's fucking nasty.
Oh, even Quicken on Dawnguard Sentinels. That's good. Quicken on the Mage Hunter Assassin.
Yeah. Just
Primed on the Mage Hunter Assassin. Yeah. That was beautiful.
Ossian could do that already.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, because Spelldraft is... It's still good for the factions that are bad and who's the boss. You're just looking for different things on the spell card.
Right.
Like, I've played Spelldraft, I think only the once, and I took the Witch Coven, and they nerfed the Witch Coven after that event.
Yeah.
But
they're probably the stronger, one of the stronger ones, as long as you don't hit AoE fire.
They were obscene, yeah. Because I got the combo.
Their feed is super good, and they get a lot of focus.
The combo that I got that was that was a little unfair was Mortality and Bone Shaker.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I ran into a full unit of Creel Warriors, hit him with Mortality, so they're all, like, -2 on all their defensive stats and no tough. And then I just one cost Bone Shaker, kill one, he kills another one. One cost Bone Shaker, kills two more. One cost Bone Shaker, kills two more.
Yeah.
So for the cost of, I think it was two, it's two for the mortality.
Yeah, I mean,
and then five. So for 7 of my 9 focus, an entire unit of Creel Warriors was
that's
gone.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
And I did that to Iron Fang Pikeman, and I also got not High Reclaimer's Cloud, but Epic Lich's Cloud with them. Mm-hmm. So I could drop 9 caustic
that's
misses.
Pretty
there.
Good. That, yeah, that's the
they're actually,
it's hard to think of a better caster than them.
Yeah,
that.
They were absurd. And now they only get that like for the
first spell that each one casts. Draft
now.
Yeah, for a perfect conjunction.
Yep.
Yeah, and
yeah,
there
perfect
was a guy.
Conjunction. Can that make 0 cost spells?
No.
No.
It reduces it to 1.
That was another spell draft specific rule. That was in there before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can get some really broken situations with them.
But there was still a spell soulfire problem.
Yeah. Yeah, especially at focus 9, it's hard to miss.
Yep.
But yeah, what was his infantry?
Now, there was one guy that apparently didn't catch that errata, and he was playing the coven. I ended up having a little bit of fun. I hit Egregor with the Mage Hunter Assassin. I'm not sure the exact specifics on how that transfer works. If he just splits it up as he sees fit,
yeah.
Okay,
it's just yep.
Okay, he left 2 witches with 2 health after one hit on Egregor, which I thought was just hilarious. I ended up because I had Mutagenesis and Cataclysm. Thought that's gonna be beautiful. Maybe I'll get a chance to actually get right up next to a caster and just Cataclysm because 7 focus. That's it. That's game over. Yeah, I couldn't get that close. I had 2 seconds left on the clock. almost clocked myself the turn before. I was going to use my Phoenix.
Yeah, two seconds wasn't enough to time to do anything.
Right. 2 seconds was enough to say, charge, place Cataclysm. And that was it. Pow 20 on Egregor was enough to, put 3 points out there. That was a little too close.
Yeah, that's...
can't do a dice roll in 2 seconds.
My favorite Mage Hunter Assassin is one that didn't even land. I had a Mage Hunter Assassin charging Resheth, and I had like a giant frickin' War Machine Woody. And then one of the stupid Beast Handlers got her with a free strike and killed her. That was about to be epic. Like, transfer to one of your Titans. Titan dies. That was going to be awesome.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about Spell Draft, the idea of the format is fine. I wish there was a way that you can redo the draft every round. So if you get stuck with a bad draft, you have to play it for the rest of the day, I guess.
Well, it's also kind of messed up.
As long as it's only a 3-round event, it's not that bad.
Yeah, it only went to 3 rounds. There was a really outside.
Yeah, who's the boss? You get a new try every round. It's not like you're stuck with one.
Correct. And it's.
Could you imagine who's the boss if you did only have one and somebody got like Evlad Circle the first round or Pvlad Circle the first round? Like,
oh. God forbid, Lord Carver and trolls.
Right.
But I mean, it seems like to me that Spell Draft is played in more of a tournament sense, where you're playing it with the competition in mind rather than who's the boss, where you just kind of...
Man, I wouldn't think so. I think either way is goofy. Yeah,
it was pretty laid back. There were people that were really kind of geared up, like, well, I built my list expecting this spell and this spell and this spell,
and then they didn't get it, and they
just got rolled.
Mm. Yeah, people get that way at who's the boss, too, though.
That's true.
I think you really do need, though, to make sure that there are 8-player pods. Either that or they have to make those decks... a little tweaked for different size pods, because we only had 2 pods. Actually, like, now that I think about it, there's only like 13 people there.
Two pods of six, so you had some really, really overpowered casters.
Yeah, I wouldn't say really, really overpowered, but missing those 2 packs, it was something at least. Because you go in, if you have 2 brain cells in your head, you look for the information, you find out what's in those packs, you don't really plan on getting certain spells. You think, well, okay, I'll be getting potentially this one, or this one.
Option of what you have, and all of a sudden half exactly. 2 of those, a quarter right, of your options are literally pulled off the table.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, they should just do it just like Magic would do a draft and get 8 people and stop and play it, and then get 8 more people and stop and play it.
Right.
That's 3 rounds. 8 people is 3 rounds. Exactly. That'd be the way to do it. And then it wouldn't be so tedious, especially if you could, even if you did it like hardcore in a style and played like 35 point lists with a really short death clock, you could get through those pretty fast then.
I was almost thinking of doing some type of weird who's the boss format where we would actually have just caster cards on one wheel and then have the spell cards on another wheel. So you could possibly have. You can have like a Harbinger with like Carver's spell list, but then you would also have his feat as well. You could have like Strakoff's card on Harbinger, where it'd be Strakoff's feat on Harbinger.
I think you should leave that one on the idea block.
It's been sticking around for like 2 years now, so it has not gone anywhere close to it. The only thing we've done is make the Mark I casters playable. That's about it.
I would only do that in a charity event. I wouldn't do that in a regular.
That's what we have been. That's what we've been doing.
It's fun, but that doesn't mean it's. I don't know.
I think
somebody should have to pay to a charity to be able to do some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like no. You do not get to play with Evlad unless you're giving money to charity. Sorry.
I was like, I slipped the 20 or whatever for Dealer's
Choice. Now Immortal Shakeable is not that bad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Didn't even think about that.
I slipped the 20 or whatever it was to Nathan for Dealer's Choice, and I was like, psst. Ryas. And then the extra 15 or whatever to turn her into Mark 1, and then my Warpwolf Stalker just went bouncing through an entire Retribution army.
Oh, I got a crit hit with Ryas.
Well, even then, if she goes invisible, too. That's not the term
and
anymore.
Ryas could go invisible. Yeah. Oh, my God. But yeah, her feet, I didn't even know how stupid her feet was in Mark 1.
Oh, yeah.
You just kept
I knew how it functioned, but I didn't know how dumb it was worded, because it was worded as a pulse that granted the ability to all of the models in her army. It was like mm-hmm. every model, it's like models currently in her control area
gain
an additional melee attack, yeah. and every time that they hit a model, they can place somewhere in base to base with it. And you're just like, what the? So my Warpwolf Stalker was out of my control by the end of it, but he was still like
destroying everything,
berserking his way through an entire unit of Major Strike Force and then Sentinels and then Halberdiers.
Now think of that on a model that every single time it killed a model,
it got stronger
every single time.
Keyblade Mark One at the end there. Yeah, and the funny thing is, until that Warchief came out, she wasn't even one of the better Legion casters. Like P-Vale, oh my god.
That last Hordes book is what broke the game in general.
It
that,
just totally
Lilith 2 coming out, that destroyed things, and that Warchief just absolutely destroyed things.
Yeah, I had fond memories of War Machine before that point, and I wasn't even good at it. I was terrible. But it was a fun game.
So it looks like we only have one Zappity Grumble. And then we're...
Just one.
Yeah. One in recommendations.
Yeah, unless you guys want to talk about anything else, but we've been talking about Warcraft for like an hour now. Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
Time to go.
Yeah. All right, Zappity Grumbles. And one here. When is a good time to start teaching your child gaming? I'm thinking of starting with chess and Hey, That's My Fish. What would you start with?
Not chess.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, it's good. It's good for teaching strategy, but... Especially if they're younger, it's just going to inundate them. It's going to overload them.
That's actually what I started learning from. Chess and checkers were my first.
Hey, That's My Fish. That's a good one to start. And you can start that one really early. Four? Three even? And yeah, that's not that bad. It's the more complex you're going, though.
I think you should, have options available for your kid, but I don't think you should push them down one road.
See what they like.
When I was a kid, I was forced to go fishing 3 times a week, and I'm just like, don't ever want to go fishing again in my life. I feel like forcing a kid to do something is the sure way to make sure they never want to do it again.
Well, this weekend, my brother-in-law took my two nephews, well, two of them, to Gamehole Con and let them kind of pick the events that they wanted to do. Two of them played nuclear war, nuclear escalation. It's some really old card game that they're redoing for the 25th anniversary. And it's an interesting game. And Josh actually watched them play through like a couple of rounds. And he goes, it's really good. They really got into it. It's simple enough that, you know, they could play it. One's 11. The other one is, I want to say, 8. The younger one has the attention span of a gnat. I tried playing other games with him, like Sentinel Tactics, and he just... started staring off into the distance and I'm hungry. Where's my sandwich?
Yeah, that's when you pack her up and go do something else.
Exactly. Yeah, that's. But he was into that one. They tried out Artemis and he liked that one. The older one, who is 11, got in on a Star Wars, I want to say, Edge of the Empire session involving bounty hunters and rescuing a Hutt's child or something.
Is that a role playing or like a miniature?
Role playing. And afterwards, he goes over to my other sister's house to spend the night there because it's closer than driving all the way back to Sauk. And he's talking about how his Wookiee was charging down stormtroopers and he punched one in the face and there was bones cracking and passed out. And the next one had an axe and it chopped him in the side, but his Wookiee fur deflected some of the blade. How he took his two battle axes and put one into the stormtrooper's neck and it got stuck in his bones and armor. So he took the other one and chopped his head clean off.
I remember
his sister
this.
Goes, what kind of game are you playing? Like, no, this is how you get the kid hooked. Yeah, it's a good outlet for him.
Violent games leading to violence has never even been close to proven. That is such a horse.
Yeah, exactly. It is absolutely bullshit.
Well, leads to violence is people feeling like outcasts.
Exactly.
And gamers don't feel like outcasts.
Not anymore. They used to. They used to when they were shunned and it was, you know, the stereotype of...
It's a devil's game.
Which, I mean, so their promotion of it is what led to the problem, not... I mean, it's... Right. They're Sorry. Violent games and
it is the devil's game. But the devil's candy is so sweet.
Even then, they never really had issues with it. I mean, the issues were all never with gamers that I've ever heard of.
It's mostly with outside people looking in, like your sister basically complaining about.
Right, about, like, it seems so violent. It seems wrong.
It's no worse than any video game that exists.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or even a Bible story in general. Yeah.
I got into gaming just with my friends. So, I mean, and a lot of it is, it definitely has to be something that the kid wants to do. Pushing them towards it.
Yeah. I didn't
get pushing into a kid it. Towards anything is just not going to work.
I didn't get into it. You know, it until I think that
if you find something your kid likes, even if it's something you have no interest in, you should be involved and be interested in it. I think. Because who knows where it could take them. I mean, you know, if a kid wants to try karate and all of a sudden they're a freaking Ronda Rousey. You know, and you decided to shut it down, you didn't do them any favors. I mean,
if they're interested
in something, you should let them run with it as far as it can go, I think. Whether it's gaming or fighting or, I mean, it's all, unless it's like drugs. might want to steer them away from that one. You know, but even stuff like...
But maybe, you know, they'll be the next Walter White.
Right.
And look Although what happened
was,
to
he
him.
He was not really into drugs.
And no. He was a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah.
Oh, that's relative.
He was a terrible,
His initial means down the path.
The show ends and the end of the show is, it would have been so much better if you died of cancer, you fucking asshole. That's when you know you're probably a terrible person. When people want you to have died of cancer, you're not a good person. I know somebody I wish would have already be dead of cancer, and they are not a good person. So, you know...
So it kind of goes back
Jim's
to that
quote of the day that gets him screamed at on the forums.
Don't care.
So it is, as much as I don't like quoting that movie, Dark Knight, Harvey Dent, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Scary face. Is that what?
Harvey Dent.
Where did Two-Face go?
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah, it kind of fits.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of got totally off track from the what age to or what games to start a kid with.
I guess we're all talking from experience here. I started learning and playing chess and checkers from my dad. I mean, it was kind of like a hobby thing. We just
I was a kid, if there's games I'd love, it'd be King of Tokyo and Hey, There's My Fish.
King of Tokyo is a great one.
Yeah.
I didn't get into this kind of stuff until. Well, after high school, I was in my early 20s when I started, and my only experience with any sort of gaming was playing Monopoly with my dad, who was a cheating asshole.
Yeah,
wow. Well, always hiding money. No, that's the banker's right.
So when I was a kid, it was like chess, checkers, Parcheesi, Sorry, all the really crappy like Mattel board games.
I started playing Magic when I was in sixth grade, and I played that battle mat game where you fucking moved your orcs and you had your cannon. I cheated like a savage at that game, speaking of cheating.
you stacked the cannon deck.
Yeah, I stacked the cannon deck, so my cannon, the cannon would one-shot any area of models on the board.
Is it Battle Masters, I think.
But it had a chance at a misfire, and I'd stack the misfires onto the bottom, and my cannon would just go and kill anything in one shot.
So you learned early that... cheating gets you ahead.
Yeah. And then I stopped doing that shit once I realized that...
It made the game not fun?
Well, I mean, I could have beaten them without having to cheat. And by cheating, I just devalue the win.
The issue that I had with that game is the fact that one side had Ogre, which was stupid. And the other side had the
Mega Cannon.
Yeah.
Survive. That's another decent recommendation.
It's more of a memory game. Because you have to. Well, thing is, though, I played it with adults with that game. I played it with adults of that game who don't remember anything about where their number one diver.
I like getting guys out.
You
want to
play with your kid?
What happens?
Get survive. Have a few really drinks. The kid might. Well, kid will probably win.
Just put your guys down at random when you play against them.
Yeah, I.
That's what I do anyway. It's not a winning strategy.
Oh man! Speaking of cheating, when I was in high school, we had like a big group of us in band or whatever who always played euchre. And cheating was a time-honored like tradition in euchre. It was if as the dealer, you and your partner did not get good hands, you were just a shit partner.
The worst about euchre is if you're playing against like a couple or something and you're not cheating, they are still cheating.
Yeah.
Because they can like look at each other and see like one little twitch of eyebrow and be like, oh, you're picking that up. Like, well, what the fuck? that's the true skill of euchre, is being with somebody for so long and playing so many games of euchre that you know what they have even without cheating.
Yeah, I had a couple partners and I who were long stand. Because we played it on bus trips because we had like every third or fourth weekend.
That's a fun game.
Yeah, it was good times.
Somebody in the chat mentioned that he apparently cheated his colorblind grandfather like a champ at Candyland.
But he feels red,
green, or something. There's something
probably it's colorblind somewhere. Yeah. All right, we do have a couple more because Tort decided that he wanted to post a couple quick.
Is any of them trolling Nathan?
No, because they can see that he's not here.
I don't really care. We can still troll him.
Somebody asked about new exciting board games at Game Hole. Not anything new. I played Homeland. That was kind of neat.
Yes, I didn't have a chance to demo all the ones that I wanted
to. You played a new game. You played that Viking game. What's it called?
Blood Rage.
Blood Rage. That one's pretty fun.
Yep.
I tried out Three Pillars. You know,
how many
first,
players is it?
They teach you with two. I think it's four.
Sweet.
No, it's okay, four. The mat that they have. That
I just like five tribes, four players. And then they got an expansion to go up to a six tribe, four players.
Oh, that's all amazing.
Like, well, there's five of us. Let's play five tribes. No.
Mechanically, it's okay. I thought it was better. I thought about it, and then I realized, it's kind of like Smash Up. You're going after these paranormal locations, which the developers of the game are whatever paranormal experts, ghost hunters, and everything is based on their experiences. And
I already don't like it.
That was my experience. When Newbie was explaining the game to me yesterday, when he said that the paranormal experts, I went, that was my response. It's like,
well, he even said how one of the characters or one of the guys shows up in a certain form where you get to deny certain piece of evidence, and he goes, and it's really good if you say it like him, like, that's not evidence. So, nasal and condescending. That's him to a T. I'm like, I'm supposed to be enthused now. Okay.
Did you just puke all over the board?
Sorry.
It's called Three Buckets. Three
buckets. Whoever pukes first is out.
So in terms of the actual, if you don't get into the theme of it, it's not bad. It's just there's parts of it that just absolutely suck. Like the first six rounds of the game, you can't even play evidence cards or whatever until you get on the case, which means you're in the door. It's like six turns of drawing cards and discarding, and you can't even get on the damn case.
Y'all got us on board with hating the game.
Yeah, I don't hate it. It just needs some tweaking.
I think the rest of us do. Yeah.
You can go ahead and hate it. Full of hate.
The Blood Rage is a really cool one though. That's the first time you played it. Was that right?
Yeah, it's basically
Blood Rage. Yeah, it's the world is in Ragnarok. It's Vikings. The world is in Ragnarok, and you are all fighting for no reason other than to fight and die in glorious combat to get to Valhalla before Ragnarok happens.
The Purge, Viking style.
Right.
Kind of, yeah. So you're fighting all around Yggdrasil, as it's basically that's the pretty and much like the final battle part is Yggdrasil.
Yeah, and you get to buy the mythological Norse monsters. Like, you got dwarfs and dark elves, which are Norse primarily. That's where they all come from, right? That's where all that mythos comes from. And then you got trolls and giants. They're very Norse-like. I had one that was a dog that...
Fenris.
Fenrir.
No, it was Fenris.
Fenrir is what I read it as. But wherever the dog ended, I called him Fenris the whole game. But wherever the dog landed, that's where the Ragnarok was going to happen. And I would load that whole zone with my own guys. And then that dog would just call down doom on them, and they'd all die and go to Valhalla.
So it's getting your guys killed.
Well, you want to win. You can win combats to get glory, to have the most glory for your tribe. You can die in Ragnarok to get glory for your tribe. So there's multiple conditions to winning. And you get a draft, like you was talking about the spell draft earlier. You get a draft for what abilities you have to choose your path. So how good you do on the draft is how good you choose your path is the strategy you use to win. Like I took a dwarf was my monster, and his special ability is he deployed for free instead of having to pay a rage to deploy him. And then I took a skill where every time I deployed a guy, I got a free guy. And then so I had a bunch of free guys that I could deploy, and then they would bring in free guys in my second game. And so you get a lot of different strategies. There's one... there's like a wolfman that only monsters can fight. So if you got like the mega monster and the wolfman, you'd go around just freaking killing everybody in combat because nothing can fight but the giant monsters that you already are the only one that has.
I had a mountain giant that worked as a leader.
Yeah, that's so, really amazing.
So he would just come flying on.
Yeah, basically, the mountain leaders giant deploys for free, too.
They can deploy onto the field for free. I had a similar strategy to Jim, so whenever my guys died, they would go in Valhalla, and when they come back next turn, I would get victory points for all the ones that would come back from Valhalla. But the thing is, though, is I had a secondary ability, is if I would lose in a battle, I get to replace my warrior. Or I get to place one warrior there. So I go into a fight knowing I'm going to lose. I'm going to like, hey, let's fight. And then they kill me. I would go to Valhalla. New guy would go there. They would try so to claim the place.
His entire clan every turn. Yeah.
So they would
try. Until somebody successfully pillages it.
Yep. But it would make sure I'd always have a member on the field. So if somebody would pillage from a different place,
yeah,
I would just run my guy over there in. To die.
Yeah, once somebody starts a fight in the middle, everybody around can just join the fight. So yeah. it is a really fun game.
How's the decent artwork? And
yeah. Oh, the minis. It's a board game with minis. And the minis, I think, are fabulous. They're I thought they were really awesome.
Nice. They're harder cool plastic game. Than the Iron Kingdom ones.
Did you ever play Chaos in the Old World?
No.
It's a souped up version of that for anybody that's played it.
Cthulhu Wars is even souped up version.
It's a souped up version of Cthulhu Wars. Although the minis are less epic.
Yeah,
Cthulhu Wars is epic minis. Like if you're playing Cthulhu Wars, half the reason you're playing is so that you can just marvel at their awesome minis. They're sweet looking.
They're like huge. Yeah. They're not really miniature. But yeah.
They're like colossals. I mean, they're pretty big.
I guess they're cool. Miniature as in what they're representing as in the old
miniature
gods.
Miniature old gods.
I would say that the Blood Rage totally replaces Chaos in the Old World to me. But I don't think that it totally replaces Cthulhu Wars. I think they're different enough.
I like Blood Rage. The drafting aspect, I wish it was almost like a hidden draft in a sense. It's very good.
It is a closed draft. You only know the cards you've seen passing. That's just like a magic
draft. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess I just never really played in an actual draft before.
Yeah, that's how they work. Well, because it's nice because you know what other people are taking, so you know their strategy. So if you get to a spot where the cards aren't that good for you and you've seen the cards that are going before, you can pick one out that's good for them and deny. So it's got a depth of play that you can play. Like once, I had the dog pulling down Ragnaros on me, and then I had double points for dying in it and Ragnarok. Sorry.
The messed up word was
Fenris and Ragnaros. That's just how it is. So Fenris would go and I'd have Ragnaros, and I had a thing that doubled the points from Ragnaros. And if somebody would have hate drafted that from me, then I would have probably lost. So, I mean, there's a big depth to play, I think.
The other card I had, though, too, that also made it really nasty for my opponents is when I would charge into a battle that I would be the only participant in and my opponent would have a ton of things, I would play, you have to play one of your cards. And my card I played would be everybody participating in this battle would have to kill all of their guys except for one.
Really, yeah, that one was really good if you had like a big monster too.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to kill all your guys but one. Mine's a giant monster. What's yours doing?
Yeah. Or my guy is just one lowly warrior. You have to kill all of your other guys. So you're going to leave your monster, which is going to kill my guy, and I'm going to put another guy right back in its place.
It's a brutal game. It is a brutal game. You know, if you're not a person that can stand losing your troops, it won't be for you. The cards are brutal.
I was grumpy the first round, and if I'd known how to play
games, I won both games.
If I would have known how to play the game the first round instead of just kind of like barely paying attention, the second and third round I played immaculately. But if I would have played the first round right, I would have probably won. But yeah,
I thought I played both my first rounds wrong, but because both times I set up a goofy combo, I was like, "Oh, this ain't gonna fucking work." And both times it worked. So. All right, go.
It sounds like fun.
It is fun. It's a good one.
Zebedee.
Grubble.
Should Steve Smith have enforced the following on? The follow on? I don't know what that is.
Talking about the M. Night Shyamalan movie?
What are you talking about?
It's what Tort said. Tort said something about should Steve Smith have enforced the follow on? don't pass. Know what he's talking about. Let's it go. Could be Steve Smith from
like, NFL,
from the NFL, or American Dad.
Yeah, I was gonna, that's the only one I care about.
Yeah, so I have no clue.
I want to
Sorry, the buddy. Buffalo.
Why doesn't Nate Newby have a beard? Is he actually
not,
human?
Not every Nate what? Needs a beard.
Who dislikes beer?
Oh, dislikes beer.
Yeah.
A lot of people dislike beer, no, even people from Wisconsin.
No, he was asking, why doesn't Nate Newby have a beard? Is he actually human? Who dislikes beer?
It was hilarious. We had Nate, and then we had Epic Nate, and then the new Nate came along, and everyone was calling him Nate Newby. I was like, oh, okay. I never realized that was your last name until like last year. That's so amazing with our group.
And you know what's really funny? That's the same thing that comes up at every tournament. Someone from out of town is like, Newby, is that your last name? And then someone chimes in with that story. Oh, I thought you were just really new at this.
It's wonderful. So, yeah, that's the answer to that
no,
question.
I choose not to have... Well, I shouldn't say I choose not to have a beard. It just grows way too damn slow.
Yeah, I'm I
not
can't patient. Ever get this part.
See, hey, you want to trade? Because right this is the only thing I can get. Everything yeah. else is sparse. That the only thing I can do is look yeah, in the mirror and do my George W. Bush voice and go, Patchy. That's all I can do because that's all it is. After of not like 9 days going into No Shave November... All I had was like a little scruff. I'm like, screw this. No,
oh, I forgot to shave on the first. Oops. Oh well.
Did you get yourself tested for mange?
Yes.
I'm talking to
you know what? Yeah, it's mange. Yeah, it's mange.
You should stop eating roadkill.
But it's so delicious.
Fair enough.
And it's free. Actually, that's kind of funny because one of my coworkers came in to work on Thursday. And he said how he got a phone call like 2 minutes before he left that someone on Highway 12 going out to Sauk saw this giant buck that was dead right in the middle of the road. Had a beautiful racket, just enormous. He didn't know how there wasn't a car on the side of the road dead. And when he came through, because he left immediately after because he wanted to pick it up with his pickup truck, he gets there and it's already gone. And it's only been like maybe 8 minutes total.
Yeah. See something good laying on the side of the road, you're picking it up.
The other thing, too, is it could have just been knocked out, too. And it
no, it was dead. Oh. It was D-E-D dead.
Probably some freaking redneck with a gigantic metal grill on his truck rammed the thing and smoked it and didn't even stop. They make those. I want one of them, like a zombie guard.
Oh,
I'm going to put one of them on my truck.
One of my coworkers took out a Prius, I think, during lunch break. Just... Totally just
like in the wild,
yeah, in the wild,
a wild
pretty
Prius.
Much, pretty much.
Get into the tall grass, man.
took it out, hit it on the front quarter panel, just absolutely demolished that. He had like maybe a little scratch, all because of that. Well, and it's a giant pickup truck.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Those zombie guards are handy though. I want one. You hit a well. The problem is you hit a deer with your truck and you pop the airbags. Your truck is totaled. So if you got one of them things and you hit a deer, the deer is totaled, not your truck. So that's
well, the
handy.
Deer is going to be totaled anyway. It's just you
yeah,
don't total your
but,
truck.
But yeah, you're losing thousands of dollars. You total your truck.
True.
So that'd be nice.
Zavity.
Grumble.
What board games would you like to introduce to a child you really don't like?
Monopoly is a good one.
What was that game that
Mouse
Josh
Trap?
Brought?
Android?
No, Josh brought this freaking arena game.
Oh
my
god. It was robots and something.
Oh man, it was like pulling teeth. It was so horrible. Brian, okay, so you get three guys each. There's 12 gladiators. And you draft your spells. Or you get a handful of random skills and you assign them to your three guys, trying to make broken combinations. Brian got like a wet noodle, squirt gun, and like a super power up that would never work because it'd take too long. That was what Brian got, like literally like a wet noodle and a squirt gun. And like I had like a auto freezing invisible person, so you couldn't see where she was and she just freeze your guys. And
the wall you made.
Yeah, walls. And there was like, yeah, wall where you could just trap somebody and they couldn't do anything about it. And I mean, it was just so terrible. Oh my God. Anything, what's the munchkin guy?
Steve Jackson.
Anything Steve Jackson. That's what I'd give to a kid I didn't like. Here you go. Here's Munchkin and the stupid arena game and whatever all their piece of crap he's made in his life. Steve Jackson, anything.
Zombie game. Dice is okay.
Yeah.
But Zombie Dice is a good passing for it to fill in for a small game. That's not
right. Even still, that would be the anything that, him I'd give over to him. That's so much worse than getting.
You know, I was really looking forward because Friday Game Holcon, Nathan came in. He didn't have a weekend pass, and he was grumbling about having to spend $50 on a weekend pass just to do podcast stuff. He said how he was going to look for Steve Jackson. He was going to hunt him down and interview him for the podcast and just ask him one simple question about how he can sleep at night.
Why?
He puts out such garbage.
I wouldn't even coherently make a question. I'd just be like, why? And then I'd shove the mic in his face.
For a kid I didn't like.
I'm trying to find that game. It's like Uncanny Hero or something like that.
Oh, is it bad?
Yeah.
Jason and Josh got up to go to the bathroom, and Jason just goes, boy, this game is bad, right?
So Monopoly, anything Steve Jackson, Scorn, if you want to get him into War Machine.
If you want to forever taint his life forever from now on, just get him into Munchkin.
Yeah, anything Steve Jackson, I'm sticking with.
As long as they don't play it seriously. My nephews, again, they play Munchkin, but they don't take it seriously. They know it's garbage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kids might actually like it, though. That's the problem.
Munchkin?
Just because they're going to be cheating like little assholes
and develop
anyway.
Terrible taste in things. But I guess you don't like them, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, and then if they're rancid and nobody can stand to be around them, that's kind of the goal. Yeah.
We go. Rancid. Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that kid becomes a horrible, unlovable asshole later in life.
He's on the floor.
Yeah.
Floods the toilet and doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah, Pegasus was shut down for like a week because somebody took a shit and flooded the toilet.
When's your daughter's birthday?
May the 4th.
Okay. No reason.
Nice.
Your very first munchkin.
Womp womp.
Zappity.
Grumble. I think that's pretty much it. We should. What computer games for a child do you dislike? I don't know.
Computer games for a child?
I don't even know what kids get for games anymore. I mean, no. We had such simple pieces of crap back then, and they were still
fun. Hey, nothing beats the Oregon Trail, dying from
malaria, chalking your wagon and having to sink anyway.
You ford that river that's 20 feet deep.
Yeah. If you want to kick them into other communities with equally terrible people, then you just get them into like League of Legends or...
Training them now in StarCraft.
Just get them in Blops or
any
something.
Any of the Call of Duty games.
Oh, man. One of my...
Or if you never want to see them again, let them start playing Minecraft and just close the door.
I'd get them into WoW because I don't play WoW, and then I'd never have to deal with them again. I mean, that definitely takes up a lot of time.
Mm, indeed, indeed.
Oregon Trail.
Yeah, you guys keep on talking.
So, recommendations then, I suppose.
Yep.
Pass until I can think of something.
Okay, well, I guess I'll recommend Homeland because it actually, it's a faster, slimmed-down version, I guess, of Battlestar where you don't have to worry about all the whatever resource management, the food and population levels, whatever. It's straight up Trader Mechanic, basically. And it's Gale Force 9.
I'm sure I had stuff. Gale Force 9 is the one that made it?
Yep.
That's cool.
This is another licensed product.
How much time does it take to play?
Very short.
Yeah, first time through it took us more than 90 minutes, but you could easily tear through it under...
How does it compare with Resistance? I mean, it's more complicated than Resistance. It's more of a game mechanics rather than Resistance is all human element.
It's more game.
Yeah, it's more game, yeah.
It does involve a lot of the remembering where people played cards as well. So one of the gotchas that we had there is one of the missions tanked, and Nathan was just sitting there going, "Is like, well, I put something there, and I think Brian and Andy put something there, and this mission tanks, so." And I'm like, I put something over here and here. And so, you know, it's kind of remembering that.
But he was pretty dead set on me being the terrorist from the get-go.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so no, it ended up just blaming.
Somebody should have reminded him that Newbie did it. He's a terrorist. I'm like,
I don't think I played anything there. Don't drink while playing that game unless you just intend on losing. Having a fun time while you're losing, but losing.
Don't be the only one drinking while you're playing that game.
Exactly, because then you're probably the terrorist.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of information to keep in track of all the time.
It's really not that bad. It really isn't. Once you see what the caseloads and that are, once however the board is laid out, it's really not that bad.
Yeah, one of the guys that came up, and, well, how do you handle the card stacks? Because they get kind of unmanageable. We just did that trick where we turned all the Intel cards 90 degrees, and it seemed to make it a lot better. Because you have a card that's your impact card, then you have a cutaway that is like the organization to it, which gives you an initial threat level for it. And then on top of that, you end up putting your case lead card and then all of your Intel cards, which are your positive and negative markers.
Right.
Just turn aside because you can deploy a spy, an agent to that, and you can look at the bottom card. You can look at how much more of a threat there is. Maybe it's a diversion, and that impact three that you're seeing is really a zero, but it's going to spawn a new event right away that could potentially go off without any sort of intervention. You deploy a soldier there, and like Andy said, you can look at all of the intel cards. You can see how many pluses and minuses have been played, but then you get the random one in there. It gets a slightly unwieldy. I could not see how that would work if you sleeved it, because that would just make it slippery as hell. But it's,
you can get good grippy sleeves.
Mm-hmm. You just play with them enough, they'll actually be less slippery.
The best sleeves I've got, I wish I knew what they were, I'd recommend them right now, but I got a silver set of sleeves on one of my Lord of the Rings decks that's like textured on the back, and so they're really grippy, but they still shuffle really easy, and they're really nice. Man, are they nice, and they're durable. It's on my dwarf deck that I've played the most of anything, and they're still just fine.
I need to play that more.
Oh, man, is it fun. That's a good game.
Andy, do you have a recommendation?
I guess I would recommend Blood Rage. After playing it that first time, I wouldn't mind playing it again. Like I said, the first round, because there's basically like three different steps in the game.
Three ages.
Yeah, three ages. After that first age, I was basically done with the game. And then I decided I would start playing. I was able to finally see what type of strategy I could go for at that point. And then the game became really fun.
It's a very strategic game. You do have to have a general overall plan going in, or you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and I had no plan at the beginning because I had no idea what really things did until you get to see it in action. Once I saw it in action, I liked it. It's a fun game. It definitely changes each time because each time that draft is going to be completely different. You know, you don't know exactly what powers you're going to have at your disposal.
Yeah, if other people are going to cut into your strategy because it won last time, you're going to have to come up with a new strategy if you want to win.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's
definitely fun. Everybody
and the
was,
minis are sweet.
Everybody was gunning for that the third Valhalla card. The one that you get three from on the third epoch.
What's that?
You get 3 points per guy that you pull.
Valhalla guy? Oh.
Per guy that you pull from
Valhalla.
I think
that one got cut out in ours. That's the other thing. You cut a random chunk of cards out. I don't think we had that one in either game. So that's a fun game. It's hard to... Yep. You have to play it to understand the names and stuff.
But. I suppose we were talking about beer earlier. I can recommend a good beer. Sam Smith's Organic Chocolate Stout. A little tougher to find. Probably going to have to go to a liquor store. But it's from a really cool brewery in England.
New England, Sam Smith's. New England.
Steve
Boston
Smith.
Lager?
We're talking about Steve Smith?
Sam Adams.
No. Oh. No.
Sure?
Or the even rarer Sam Jackson.
Actually over on the island.
Oh, real England. Old England. Old England.
We're old with an E.
And,
that's how you know it's good.
So, I mean,
home of the Beatles and the Rolling Guys.
Mm-hmm, yep, yep. Mm-hmm. It's a good stout, and on top of that, all the Sam Smith...
organic chocolate stout?
Yep. All the Sam Smith beers have kind of a cool... kind of a unique flavor because they use the water that's local and it has an interesting mineral quality.
It's only 5%.
As opposed to the Sam Smith music, which is just ripping off other people like Tom Petty.
What?
I don't know Sam Smith. I can't say
be
that.
Glad.
But I know that one.
We'll see if I can find some around here.
They have it at Steve's over by
local beer results. Side recommendation, Untappd. It's an awesome phone app. So it has horrible things in there, like achievements that you can get for drinking for beer drinking. A certain place.
Making drinking into a game always ends well. I played beer pong once. I puked so bad. I won, though. Man, was I good at beer pong. I don't know why or how.
I'm all apparently right, good at beer the bongs.
Distance to 50 but miles.
The problem with being good at beer pong is that you keep winning.
No, just at well, Steve's right by Target at Mineral Point.
It may not recognize that. So
they also have it at Woodman's.
Hmm. It just actually, it only
for all our
has
Australian viewers, go to Woodman's, get it.
It only
hey, that's where 50 Cent sells his vodka.
Yeah, 50 Cent vodka. You know, that's a good price on vodka. I remember when I was in high school, we found a bottle of Fleischmann's, a 1.75 of Fleischmann's, and we thought we were like, oh my God, we found a whole bottle of vodka. This is great. Oh my God, that stuff is terrible. It's like $5 for 1.75 because it's just like god awful rat poison.
Thanks. Oh man.
Yeah, good times. I guess I get one. I'm gonna recommend the Lords of Waterdeep app for your phone.
An app?
Yep.
You guys don't play that anymore.
Like the game.
I love that game. Man, is it fun. If you know what you're doing, it's really strategic, I think.
I've only played that once and I screwed over Katie and Katie has never forgiven me.
I played three games online, went undefeated, and then people stopped inviting me. But it's quite fun. I like playing just against the computer. I'm like 240 and 20 against the computer or something.
What is the cost of this application?
I have no idea, but it's cheap for what... I'm telling you, you play but 10 or 15 games of it, and it's really fun, even against the computer.
You just buy it, and then it doesn't ask you to... give it more money?
No, it's not in-game purchases. It's a full game. It's the full board game for not that much.
Man.
It does ask for the expansions.
Okay.
But it's much, much cheaper than the board game. You can play it online anytime you want, or you can play it against the computer, which is really fun.
That's interesting, because it's weird nowadays whenever I ask, like, oh, what's this game cost? I'm hoping that it's like $30 or $40 so that I'll get away easy rather than it being... definitely free and eventually costing me like $150
yeah.
for everything.
Welcome to Heroes of the Storm.
I would rather just pay $10 for a good game and not have any in-app purchases for sure.
Yep.
And that's, I think it's like around that $10 and then $5 per expansion, which is a fraction of the board game.
I don't mind in-app purchases if it's something I can get in the game itself. Like if it's something that if I'm going to be playing the game for a month, and I'm going to have enough to buy all the other stuff.
That's how that terrible Chinese war game I played was, is that you could buy gold, but if you waited long enough, you'd eventually get gold.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't, I spent $10 on it, and then they ruined the game, and I asked Apple for my $10 back and got it back instantly. So that was a free one. That one was 100% free. But and Lords of Waterdeep is a really awesome game. It just takes a while, like... I don't know. A lot of the people in our group think it's random, but it is not at all. If you're picking the right quests that come up and you're patient about it, it's really strategic, I think. It's really good. And there's definitely quests. Like, you have to know which quests are, I better take this right now, no matter what I'm playing and stuff like that. What buildings, how to build, when to build. It's really strategic and fun. It's a really good game.
Sweet.
Much better than Kalis.
There's nobody here that you could troll with that.
I'm not trolling. It's a fact. The game is much better than Kalis.
We played that one time.
See, that one time. That's all I'm saying.
I remember not hating it.
Well, you should have.
I generally don't do well at those type of worker replacement games. I play them a few times here and there. It's very few that I actually get into.
Lords of Waterdeep is worker replacement, but it's more about the equity you're getting out of each placement rather than fighting over the one spot that's critical.
Yeah, I do like Terra Mystica.
It's like if I take this one action, it's really worth 2.5 actions. And it's like it's more about getting a higher number of actions than it is placing the workers in one spot, and if somebody else goes there first, you're fucked.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I mean, that's the ultimate purpose of any of the worker placement games is maximum value per
placement.
Yep. I don't know. For me, Lords of the Waterdeep really resonates in that style for me because I don't feel like I'm fucked if I'm going third or whatever. Or if one person goes to one spot, my whole turn is ruined. I never feel that way. Whereas in Kalis, you feel that way quite often.
All right, is that a wrap?
That is a wrap. We should probably call it
good night.
We did not go as quick as you wanted, Keith.